is it possible? In fact, I think this explains Putin's aggression, because I think what has happened is that Russia has captured escalation dominance in the nuclear balance. And this is why Russia feels free now to attack Ukraine, to threaten NATO and the Baltic states, to go into Syria and to kill our allies right in front of us. You know, Russia, think about what's happening. You know, Russia has gone into Syria, and it's killing, bombing the Syrian rebels, the 10,000 Syrian rebels that were trained by the CIA to oppose the Assad regime. Russia's a lie. And they're killing them right in front of the eyes of the United States. You know, what a humiliation, you know? This is, remember, well, you are obviously too young to remember, but, you know, one of the things that a lot of people thought brought on the Cuban Missile Crisis was that Khrushchev thought Kennedy was weak and that he would be able to get away with it because the Bay of Pigs failed and the Cuban army was unable to kill the Cuban revolutionaries that were backed by the United States and the CIA at the Bay of Pigs. You know, the invasion of Cuba, our attempt to overthrow that Cuban government failed. And right in front of our eyes, just 90 miles from Florida, you know, the communists killed our people, you know. And Khrushchev saw that happen and said, this guy, John F. Kennedy, this young Catholic guy, he's weak. I can get away with whatever I want. And I'm going to move nuclear missiles into Cuba. And that's what brought, that weakness is what brought the world to the brink of a nuclear war that first time because of what Khrushchev thought he could get away with, even though, I mean, and imagine what a bold gamble that was, and it was even under such a situation where the United States had this overwhelming superiority in nuclear weapons, and Khrushchev still took the gamble. Now, instead of losing a few hundred Cubans, you know, which is the situation in the Bay of Pigs, we're looking at thousands of our Syrian allies being massacred right in front of us. Iran, Russia's ally, virtually taking over Iraq, you know, a country that we paid thousands of lives for. Tens of thousands of casualties, millions of dollars, billions of dollars sunk into trying to get Iraq. The Iranians have overturned our ally in Yemen and taken that and that over. And as I said, Russia is constantly harassing NATO, overflying NATO airspace, sending nuclear bombers against NATO. They conduct military exercises where they've moved 150,000 troops from Siberia right to the doorstep of Poland and the Baltic states, 150,000 troops. That's more troops than in the combined armies of all the Baltic states together, you know? So you can imagine Putin acts like he's got nuclear superiority. And what will he be tempted to do?
Yes, and that's one of my next questions was I was going to ask you, what do you think President Putin will do next in terms of any potential attacks? Do you think that Canada or the United States might be a target at some point?
I'm afraid of not just what will Putin do, but what will China do? What will North Korea do? What will Iran do? What will the terrorists do? What will all of our enemies do now that America appears to have no credibility? Because that's what has happened. You know, under President Obama in 6 years, I actually just wrote an article about this called The End of the American Century. And maybe my best way of answering to you is to sort of talk to that article. You know, what is the American century? A visionary and publishing magnate called Henry Luce, in 1941, coined the phrase the American century. What Luce envisioned is he wanted to see the United States become a benign global superpower that would advance political and economic freedom throughout the world. And that's what happened. And most historians and political scientists, they sometimes use that phrase to describe what until recently had been our current times, the American century, which they date from 1945, you know, the U.S. triumph over Nazi Germany in World War II, when we came to dominate the free world, up until recently. And it's considered sort of like, just like the Roman Empire, Imperial Rome in the classical period, had what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, this golden age that lasted 200 years, where the Roman Empire had a period of unprecedented peace, you know, where through its strength, oh, there were little wars and things like that, you know, but for the most part, the known world was at peace, and there was enormous prosperity because of the road system, conveyance of Roman and Hellenistic civilization throughout the world. It was a flowering of culture and civilization. Well, that was sort of how it was from 1945 afterwards, if you really think about it. Even though there was a Cold War, the Cold War was not a nuclear war. You know, we had stopped, broken the cycle of world wars where millions of people had died. And this was, so you might have think of this as instead of a Pax Romana, it was sort of a Pax Americana, you know, where American military, economic, and political power, but mostly military power, underwrote this period of peace. And when you think about the values that are held internationally now as a result of that, now we kind of take it for granted that human rights should be respected, that people should live in freedom, that there should be political and economic freedom. There should be no question that should be the basis of human rights, that these are God-given rights, that these concepts, you know, were not out there in the world at large, you know, until the Pax Americana that we call the American century. But now, most countries do subscribe to this idea, and even the totalitarian states pay lip service to this notion of freedom. But now it's over, it's ended. The date of death of the American century can be put almost precisely to October of this year, October 2015. So the American century only lasted 70 years, from 1945 to 1915. It didn't even last a full century. And that's because the foundations of the American century, which was the credibility of America's military power to be used to defend the free world, is in tatters. That credibility is in tatters. You know, because Ukraine has been invaded with impunity, Crimea has been annexed, China is building naval and air forces and nuclear forces that are bringing into question whether we would be able to defend our allies in Asia, and is acting very aggressively, building islands, artificial islands out in the South China Sea to lay claims to areas that were considered international waters. No, China is claiming that this is their waterways. North Korea has actually practiced EMP attacks and can reach the United States with a nuclear missile now, and with impunity, you know, threatened a nuclear war against us back in 2013 and got away with it. You know, it's the KSM-3 satellite from North Korea still passes over both our heads, over the United States and Canada, on a regular basis on the optimum trajectory to do an EMP attack. Iran has killed American soldiers by the thousands and gotten away with it. Now it's trying to build a caliphate, its own Iranian empire, by sponsoring worldwide terrorism ever more aggressively, and taking over allies in Iraq and Yemen. And we are not supporting our allies. Look at how bad the relationship is with Israel, where Israel feels abandoned. You know, why will we not support al-Sisi in Egypt, you know, who has one of the few Arab leaders who has risked his life by saying Islam should not be about compulsion. You know, Islam should be peaceful. People should be allowed to be Christians or Hindus or Buddhists or whatever they want to be. You know, we need to rethink Islam and the way we behave. And he's putting his life at risk. The Muslim Sadat, the predecessor of Egypt, you know, was assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood for wanting to make peace with Israel, as al-Sisi is calling for making peace. We turned our Lebarak fall, you know. You can't even say it's that dangerous to be an enemy of the United States. The old saying, there used to be an old saying, it may, you know, that while it may be dangerous to be an enemy of the United States, it is surely fatal to be their friend, you know. And now you can't even say it's all that dangerous to be an enemy of the United States, but surely it is fatal. And we see it happening in the Middle East with the Syrian rebels being massacred in front of our eyes and our other allies being abandoned and America basically in retreat. But I'm not answering your question. Let me get to that. In order to answer your question, it has to be understood that we exist in this unprecedented power vacuum where the American century has ended. This period of U.S. predominance as the defender of the free world has ended like going off a cliff or going over Niagara Falls. And these next 2 years under this administration, where this president is clearly unwilling to act to stand up and defend the free world, is sending a message to Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and the terrorists that they can do whatever they want. So I'm afraid the worst things imaginable. What are the worst things imaginable that might happen over the next 2 years? These things are distinct possibilities now.